In 1960, 33 million trips were made over the Sydney Harbour Bridge. In 1972, this number had increased to around 50 million. In the 1970s, as a way to deal with this enormous increase in traffic, one-way tolling was introduced, as Ken Mackay notes.
In 1970, the city-bound only toll was adopted and it was made 20 cents, which was double the toll, but 20 cents. They worked on the basis that if they went one way in the morning, they've got to come back in the afternoon, so we don't want to lose, so we'll make it 20 cents. And that was generally accepted. Oh, and at the same time was when they put in the automatic coin collection, when they adopted the one-way toll. It was only adopted in two toll booths on the north side and two toll booths on the south side. But it was a good innovation because, an automatic coin machine, they could process traffic at the rate of about up to 550, 600 vehicles an hour, whereas a manually operated toll gate, 350 to 400 vehicles an hour. So that's a significant difference. And those machines relied on optical recognition of the coins. They were very fast machines. There was holes in a plate that when the coins flew past, the light shining through the holes would actually pick up what sort of a coin it was. Those machines were okay until you got multi-coin transactions, then you used to get a bit confused. And you'd get hiccups and the coin mightn't be recognised and the driver wouldn't be given the go sign because it was a red-green light system. And, of course, if it stays red, traffic banks up. And the toll supervisor's got to come running across the road to sort out the problem and they usually just wave them on, you know. When the $1.50 toll came in, those machines basically had it. They were so unreliable, fast, but very unreliable. And we had to do something about it and we ended up going to the world market. There's not too many companies that make toll collection machines. And we had tenders from around the world. We eventually accepted a tender from a Queensland company, which was eventually taken over by the Americans anyway, but they developed a very good system of coin recognition. Wasn't as fast as the old machines on the Harbour Bridge. In fact, I remember the guy who was the manager of that company eventually became manager of Queensland Motorways, which run the Logan Motorway and the Gateway Bridge, and he said, "Your machines were fantastically fast." He said, "But our machines are more accurate." And we agreed with him because those new machines, they had a method, they'd actually pick up the coin in a disc going around, pick it up, and then it'd drop through a hole and the coin would be electronically recognised by its mass and metallic content.
Another device developed to cope with the problems of traffic congestion during peak periods was the introduction of movable toll booths on the southern approaches to the bridge. Richard Power describes the ritual of setting up and dismantling the booths at the beginning and end of each peak period.
They were toll cabins 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 and 12. Each morning, somewhere between 6:15 and, say, 20 minutes past 6, the RTA tow truck would arrive, and one of the staff members on the tow truck would get out of the truck, go round to the back of what was known as the supervisor's cabin, into a tiny space, which I think was nicknamed the garage, and in there was a battery-operated towing machine. We called it a tractor. We just called it the tractor. They'd hop on that, slowly reverse about, drive across to where the toll cabins were stacked side by side, just like a stack of DVDs on the edge. They'd hook up to one of them and start driving slowly across the bridge. This is after, of course, the northbound bridge traffic had been stopped. Prior to this, traffic was thundering through under the canopy above, going north. The tow truck driver is towing the cabins into position right across until they were all in position and locked in position. Then they would put the tractor away and they'd disappear. And then 6:30, the toll collection staff would roll up onto the toll plaza the supervisor with them, and they would open up to traffic. And, of course, around about 10 o'clock, approximately, depending on traffic conditions, the reverse would happen. The tow trucks would stop the traffic coming, or the traffic control office in liaison with the tow trucks would stop the flow of traffic south through the mobile toll cabins. Tow truck staff would then get out. They would change the signs above the toll cabins to say no entry. And they would get in the little tractor and then push the toll cabins aside over towards the observatory hill, stack them side by side, and that was it. Put the tractor away and off they'd go.
In 1977-78, the introduction of prepaid tokens for the toll was another early attempt to improve traffic flow, as Ken McKay recalls.
The critical thing was to keep the traffic moving. There was another scheme going on with those old machines too. When I got there, when the coins were being counted in the cash room using electronic means, I was flinging out Lunar Park tokens. And we were getting hundreds of Lunar Park tokens. We used to go over to Lunar Park every couple of months and sell them back to them. This token was presented to me by an officer of the Perth Mint, Royal Australian Mint, and that's where all the tokens were made. And you can see that one side you've got the Sydney Harbour Bridge with the harbour in the background. You can see the Opera House. And on the other side is the Waratah, the floral emblem of New South Wales. Anyhow, we had hundreds of thousands of these made. So they're very nicely done. But guess what? They're exactly the same mass, dimensions and metallic content as an English 2p coin. So you know what happened then? We found 2p coins going into our coin machines. And the word was that flight stewards bringing them into the country and flogging them at a Neutral Bay hotel.
By the end of the 1970s, the old PABX toll registration system was in dire need of replacement. Around that time, the first computer-based system was developed in-house. This system served to register the Sydney Harbour Bridge toll payments until the year 2000. Peter Lardner-Smith was involved in getting this system operational.
So in 1980, I engaged a young gentleman to prepare the software for our PDP-11 computer, and he wrote this in the Fortran 4 computer programming language. It took him 3 months. The Department of Main Roads paid him $11,000 for that much work. The PDP-11 computer is interesting. It was about a 10 megahertz computer. It had 2 5-megabyte disk drives, 5 megabytes, and the task memory capacity was 64 kilobits. It was really, really primitive, but it all worked. It all worked with our single board manual controllers working into the PDP-11. We went from high error rate to a low error rate toll collection system. So the collector just punched up his number. He was number 123 on some thumbwheel switches, which was there, and they never made a mistake. And then he pressed a button, and we had signal conditioning on the push button presses to know that the only one press occurred, no matter how shuddery and juddery that finger operation might have been, so that there was signal processing on what the collector did. And the vehicle loop detectors were now improved a little bit too. And gradually our accountability became a whole lot sharper. And that was demonstrated in a big way in 1984 when the police came and arrested four toll collectors in one hit. And as a result of that, the accounts the next day all sharpened up. That gave us the benchmark as to how accurate the system had become.